living on the emerging savannas. At all events, with the oceans and continents arranged as they are now, it appears that ice will be a long-term part of our future. According to John McPhee, about 50 more glacial episodes can be expected, each lasting 100,000 years or so, before we can hope for a really long thaw. Before 50 million years ago, Earth had no regular ice ages. But when we did have them, they tended to be colossal. A massive freezing occurred about 2.2 billion years ago, followed by a billion years or so of warmth. Then there was another ice age, even larger than the first, so large that some scientists are now referring to the age in which it occurred as the Cryogenian, or Super Ice Age. The condition is more popularly known as Snowball Earth. Snowball, however, barely captures the murderousness of conditions. The theory is that because of a fall in solar radiation of about 6% and a drop-off in the production or retention of greenhouse gases, Earth essentially lost its ability to hold on to its heat. It became a kind of all-over Antarctica. Temperatures plunged by as much as 80 degrees Fahrenheit. The entire surface of the planet may have frozen solid, with ocean ice up to half a mile thick at higher latitudes and tens of yards thick even in the tropics. There is a serious problem in all this in that the geological evidence indicates ice everywhere, including around the equator, while the biological evidence suggests just as firmly that there must have been open water somewhere. For one thing, cyanobacteria survived the experience, and they photosynthesize. For that, they needed sunlight. But as you will know if you have ever tried to peer through it, ice quickly becomes opaque, and after only a few yards would pass on no light at all. Two possibilities have been suggested. One is that a little ocean water did remain exposed, perhaps because of some kind of localized warming at a hot spot. The other is that maybe the ice formed in such a way that it remained translucent, a condition that does sometimes happen in nature. If Earth did freeze over, then there is the very difficult question of how it ever got warm again. An icy planet should reflect so much heat that it would stay frozen forever. It appears that rescue may have come from our molten interior. Once again, we may be indebted to tectonics for allowing us to be here. The idea is that we were saved by volcanoes, which pushed through the buried surface, pumping out lots of heat and gases that melted the snows and reformed the atmosphere. Interestingly, the end of this hyper-frigid episode is marked by the Cambrian outburst, the springtime event of life's history. In fact, it may not have been as tranquil as all that. As Earth warmed, it probably had the wildest weather it has ever experienced, with hurricanes powerful enough to raise waves to the heights of skyscrapers and rainfalls of indescribable intensity. Throughout all this, the tube worms and clams and other life forms adhering to deep ocean vents undoubtedly went on as if nothing were amiss. But all other life on Earth probably came as close as it ever has to checking out entirely. It was all a long time ago, and at this stage we just don't know. Compared with a Cryogenian outburst, the ice ages of more recent times seem pretty small scale, but of course they were immensely grand by the standards of anything to be found on Earth today. The Wisconsin ice sheet, which covered much of Europe and North America, was 2 miles thick in places, and marched forward at a rate of about 400 feet a year. What a thing it must have been to behold. Even at their leading edge, the ice sheets could be nearly half a mile thick. Imagine standing at the base of a wall of ice 2,000 feet high. Behind this edge, over an area measuring in the millions of square miles, would be nothing but more ice, with only a few of the tallest mountain summits poking through. Whole continents sagged under the weight of so much ice, and even now, 12,000 years after the glacier's withdrawal, are still rising back into place. The ice sheets didn't just dribble out boulders and long lines of gravelly moraines, but dumped entire land masses, Long Island and Cape Cod and Nantucket, among others, as they slowly swept along. It's little wonder that geologists before Agassiz had trouble grasping their monumental capacity to rework landscapes. If ice sheets advanced again, we have nothing in our armory that could deflect them. In 1964, at Prince William Sound in Alaska, one of the largest glacial fields in North America was hit by the strongest earthquake ever recorded on the continent. It measured 9.2 on the Richter scale. Along the fault line, the land rose by as much as 20 feet. The quake was so violent, in fact, that it made water slosh out of pools in Texas. And what effect did this unparalleled outburst have on the glaciers of Prince William Sound? None at all. They just soaked it up and kept on moving. For a long time, it was thought that we moved into and out of ice ages gradually, over hundreds of thousands of years, but we now know that that has not been the case. Thanks to ice cores from Greenland, we have a detailed record of climate for something over 100,000 years, and what is found there is not comforting. It shows that for most of its recent history, Earth has been nothing like the stable and tranquil place that civilization has known, but rather has lurched violently between periods of warmth and brutal chill. Toward the end of the last big glaciation, some 12,000 years ago, Earth began to warm, and quite rapidly, but then abruptly plunged back into bitter cold for 1,000 years or so in an event known to science as the Younger Dryas. The name comes from the Arctic plant, the dryas, which is one of the first to recolonize land after an ice sheet withdraws. There was also an older dryas period, but it wasn't so sharp. At the end of this 1,000-year onslaught, average temperatures leapt again by as much as 7 degrees in 20 years, which doesn't sound terribly dramatic, but is equivalent to exchanging the climate of Scandinavia for that of the Mediterranean in just 2 decades. Locally, changes have been even more dramatic. Greenland ice cores show the temperatures there changing by as much as 15 degrees in 10 years, drastically altering rainfall patterns and growing conditions. This must have been unsettling enough on a thinly populated planet. Today, the consequences would be pretty well unimaginable. What is most alarming is that we have no idea, none, what natural phenomena could so swiftly rattle Earth's thermometer. As Elizabeth Colbert, writing in The New Yorker, has observed, no known external force, or even any that has been hypothesized, seems capable of